all the time. Yes, welcome to Lenexa UMC and to our worship service. Feel free to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting, feel welcome and feel in the presence of Jesus Christ. Please take a moment to record your presence on those books beside you and pass it down the row. I would like to remind you that we are still looking for a youth director, so please pass the word around. Share in social media, share with your friends. We still need a youth director. You all know that Scott resigned. I don't have any other announcement. Do you have any? Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Wayne Doheny. It's my privilege to serve as your lay liturgist today. The only announcement I have, Pastor, is the fact that next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, there will be no dinner on us, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We figure you'll all be home doing turkeys and pies and all of those sort of things. When I taught school, we always got off on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we called it Pie Day so that you could bake your pies before Thanksgiving. So this Wednesday, we will have dinner on us. Next Wednesday, we will not. So if you will all please now stand, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. Humbly we come to fellowship together and to praise our Creator. We humbly come before you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to tear down the walls of pride and to relax in the warmth of your Spirit. We humbly come to find strength that we might truly experience your unconditional love and to be open to your blessing and hope. Amen. And now if you remain standing and join us in the hymn 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Thank you. And now as the children come forward for children's moment, I would invite you to pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor and welcome them in the name of Christ.
Good morning. All right, today I'm going to tell you a story about two soccer players. And you know what? They weren't that great at soccer. But the first player thought that he was so good at soccer that he spent all of his time bragging about how good he was. He told his teammates, and he told his coach, and he told the people at the grocery store, anyone he saw, he told them how good of a soccer player he was. He told them he didn't need teammates. He could do it all himself. But the second player spent all of his time trying to get better at soccer. So he went to practice, and he ran drills, and he asked his coach for help, and he read books, and he asked for advice about how to get better at soccer. So between those two soccer players, who do you think would get better at soccer? What do you think, Hunter?
Number 2.
Yeah, number 2, because he was putting in the work, right? And so in today's scripture story, Jesus tells us a story about two people who are kind of like these soccer players. But instead of it being about soccer, it's about living God's way of life. And one of the guys was so focused on just telling God how great of a person he was. He was praying and going on and on to God about how great he was and how much better he was than everyone else, because he thought that he knew it all. That kind of sounds like the first soccer player, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the other guy in the story, he was praying to God, and he said, you know, God, I need help. I need you to teach me how to live your way of life. And he wanted to get better. And that kind of sounds like the second soccer player, right? So which of those guys do you think was probably going to get better at living God's way of life? Mason?
The second one.
Yeah, the second one. So we should remember that we are trying to live God's way of life. And what are some things we can do to get better at that? Kennedy? Yeah. Yeah, ask God for help when we pray. Hunter? Yeah. Well, instead of practicing soccer, we're going to practice following God. And we can maybe practice following God by being kind to people, being a friend at school or at sports. What else can we do? What are we doing right now?
Talking about God
at church. When we come to church and come to Sunday school, we're learning about God and about ways to follow God's way. Yeah, so let's remember that instead of being like, hey, we know it all, we're here to learn and keep getting better at following God. All right, let's pray. Repeat after me.
Dear God,
please help us to remember
that we don't know it all,
and to ask for and listen
for help from you and others.
Amen. Yesterday, our third graders came to the church for a Bible Blast workshop where they learned about their Bibles that they are receiving today as a gift from the church. So thank you for investing in the lives of these kids and for purchasing the Bibles that they will receive. All right, we'll start with Mason Cooley. Kennedy Nelson. J.R. Schuerman. James Villadal. And then Lincoln Strauss will also be receiving a Bible. He couldn't be here. And
I invite you to join me in the response on your peach insert or on the screen. Receive the Word of God. Learn its stories and study its words. These stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. They tell us who we are and that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. We pray that God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this holy Bible throughout your life.
Wow, that was a real celebration. Yeah. And we have some more celebration. And yesterday, actually this today, it is the anniversary for Tom and Julie Nature. You know, 40th wedding anniversary. Amen. Some of you were here last night. They decided to celebrate yesterday, but it was actually today. And we also celebrate the 17 youth and 8 adults who are on the LUMY Youth Fellowship Fall Retreat at Wilderness Retreat. So pray for their traveling masses. They are doing okay. Yeah. But keep them in your prayers. They are having fun. And also, as I said, be praying, you know, for God to send a youth director for our youth. And we celebrate the beginning of monthly chapel time with our preschool students. We are starting this week. That is a celebration. Yeah, I heard in Iowa, it is going to start soon. So we thank God. Let's pray also for those who are not feeling well. Some of you know that Carol Diehouse is in the hospital. Keep them in your prayers. Pray also for those who are grieving, and especially the family of Tammy Wilson. Pray for that family. And also pray for those who are not with us this morning. There are some who are still healing at home. They had surgeries. So pray for them. The names are on the list here in the bulletin. So you can mention those names during a silent prayer. And I would like to give you that time, a moment of silent prayer, as we go before the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to come before thy throne, O mercies, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We want to thank you for the way you have been so nice to us. Thank you for the gift of life and the gift of salvation that we have. Thank you for this opportunity that we can come together as your children and worship you. Lord, we want to thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for those whom their physical life has been restored. Thank you for those you have given traveling mercies. Thank you for those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And we pray for blessing upon them. Lord, we want to lift up also those who are discouraged. We pray that you encourage them this morning. For those who have been fighting with the devil the whole week, we pray that you give them encouragement and give them hope. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are not feeling well. You know Carol, and you know Cheryl, and others who are not feeling well. We pray in Christ's name that you bring restoration to them. Even for those who are on the road to recovery, we pray that you bring complete healing upon them. We want to lift up our youths, even as they are coming this way today. We pray that you keep them traveling mercies. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving, especially the Wilson family. We pray that you draw closer to them during this difficult time. Lord Jesus, we want to commit this congregation upon your hands. Lord, as we continue to worship you, Lord, we pray that you move in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that you bless every part of this service. Thank you for those children who received their Bibles today. We pray that they'll be able to read it. We pray for the parents that they'll be able to guide them and to draw closer to you and knowing your word. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are young too. We pray that you be with them. We pray for the Sunday school today. We pray that you minister through the teachers and those who are leading the Sunday school. Minister through them in a mighty way. Lord Jesus, you know all the families represented here today. We pray that you bless them. And when you bless them in abundance. For we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Join me in the community prayer. God, our Creator, source of blessing, you delight in the happiness of your people. Hear the prayers, Christian, for your people and for them thy Lord. Fulfill our needs and guide our needs. In the kingdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and forever. Amen. And thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I liked Mary's analogy of the two soccer players and thought probably I could add soccer player 1 and soccer player 2 to the scripture, but decided I better not mess with Jesus' words. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous, and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income, but the tax collector stood far off, would not even look up to the heavens, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wayne, for reading the word of God today. And I want to say also thank you to Mary for children's story. Now, before we continue, let's pray over the scripture today. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this scripture that has been read. We pray that you illumine my mind and the minds of everybody here today. Help us to give you a prayerful attention as we listen to your word, my Lord, my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Now, I have to tell you this. I heard about this Sunday school teacher who was proud of her work. And she was testing the children to see if they were understanding the concept of getting to heaven. And so she asked some questions. And she asked the children, if I sold my house and my car, and I have a big garage sale of my things in the house, and give all my money to the church, will I be able to get to heaven? And the children said no. Then the teacher continues, if I was to clean the church every day and mow the yard, will I be able to get to heaven? And the children said no. And now the teacher was smiling and said, hey, they are getting it. Well, she continued, if I give candy to all the children in the neighborhood and be kind to animals and love my husband, will I be able to get to heaven? And the children say no. So she was just bursting with pride for them. These children really know what they are learning here in the Sunday school. So, and the last question she asked them is, then how can I get into heaven? And a 5-year-old boy raised his hand and shouted and said, you have got to be dead. Somehow that makes sense, isn't it? You know, people die and they go to heaven. Now, how do we get to heaven? And it is on the slide. How do we get to heaven? Is it by human efforts? Is it by keeping the rules? Yes. Keeping the rules, that works only if we could obey the rule perfectly, which is always kind of impossible. When it comes to obeying the rules, I would say I think it excludes all of us, because most of us are too aware of our imperfection. We are not God. We are imperfect. Our Lord's parable is about those who consider themselves righteous and look down on others. And also it is about the grace of God. We are going to learn that our salvation depends on what we are willing to receive, and not on what we can achieve. In other words, we are not saved by good works, but by God's works. Today, we are going to look at two people who offer to God very different prayers. Both prayers reveal something about the hearts of this man. Yes, one man felt he had enough righteousness within himself to be justified before God, and the other realized his total hopelessness and placed himself on the mercy of God. So there are many things in this text that we can learn. But the main thing we can learn today is the right way to approach God. So first, let's take a look at the wrong way to approach God. The wrong way to approach God is by your own good works. The Pharisee represents all those who try to come to God on the basis of their own good deeds. Yes, keep in mind that in our days, the word Pharisee has a negative connotation. But in the Jewish culture of Jesus' days, the Pharisee were those who had devoted themselves to God. They were diligent to keep the law of Moses. They were the religious leaders of the day. But Jesus uses this Pharisee as an example of those who try to come to God through their good works. Jesus shows us two problems with this approach to God, and I number them as A and B. So, A. Let's look at this, the slide. A. It is, yes, it is around there. So people who try to come to God by their good works are trusting in themselves. They trust in themselves, and that is wrong. So going back to verse 9, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, where Jesus says, the scripture says, He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regard others with contempt. I have to say this. Trusting in ourselves means we are not trusting in God. The two are mutually exclusive. Yes, a person may protest, I'm trusting in both God and myself. But the truth is, he sometimes trusts in himself more than God. Yeah, it is like you and I get sick. Maybe of malaria disease. Let's say malaria. And now, I got healed. You know, earlier than you before you get healed. And you come to me and ask, so what medicine did you use? I have been trying all kinds of medicine and it is not helping with this malaria. And I tell you, well, this is what I did. I went to the drugstore and I bought Robitussin, a number of bottles. And every day, for 1 month, I've been drinking a whole bottle of Robitussin. And that helped, that healed me. So I'm like, really? Okay, I'm going to try it. And as you are heading out of the door, I say, hey, wait. And also, I took 10 tablets of Tylenol every day for 1 month. And you are like, really? Now you are getting confused. Did Robitussin heal you or Tylenol or both of them? So, here is the thing. You know, the company which make Tylenols will be proud of their products. They will say, our products can heal also malaria. It is not only for pain. And then, now the Robitussin also is can heal, you know, flu or something, colds. And probably it can heal malaria. too, because there are two things here. We don't know which one is treating malaria here. So the same thing with the when we come to this, approaching God in our works and in our faith, you know, by the grace of God. We don't know, you know, if we mix works and the grace of God, then we do not know which one would get us to heaven. We will get confused. You will hear people saying that, you know, God, you know, I have been doing all these things. If it was not for me, we would not be having all these investments in our family. You know, I did all these, you know. I was able to, you know, to do more than one job. And we are here today, you know. You know, the school is running well because we built it. You know, the church, you know, the church is opening the doors because, you know, I have to work hard. And they are not, you know, they are not thinking about, what about if God didn't call people to come to church? We could be having a building, but if God was not working on the hearts of people, we would not have been having people in the church. So there's that confusion. When we mix works and the works of God, the grace of God, it is by grace alone that we are here, that we can get to heaven, that we can even approach God. What does Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says? It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing." In other words, it is not your own works. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. So we cannot boast. So the scripture is very clear. It declares that we are saved by grace through faith apart from works. Because if we add just even a small amount of human works to what God has done, we will boast in our works. And that ruins the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So to try to come to God by our good works, it is to trust in ourselves. It is to trust in our energy, trusting in our wisdom. And even if those works are mingled with faith, we should not trust in them. Notice the Pharisees' prayer here. Jesus says that he was praying thus to himself, meaning that he was praying so as to be heard only by himself. But to tell you the truth, he was praying to himself. He was talking to himself in prayer, not to God. He was not talking to God. His prayer mentioned God once, but I several times. Let's read it again in verse 11 to 12. Let's try to identify where there is I. So the Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." How many I's are there? Four. So he mentioned God once, but I. You know, it was about himself. He was talking, this prayer was all about himself. He was congratulating himself more than God. So it was about his good works. He's boasting of himself as being different than these sinners that he mentioned. And I have to tell you that pride is the original sin of Satan and of humanity, who thought that they knew better than God. So pride is a problem. It is a sin. So I would say that it is safe to say that every sin we commit is rooted in pride. Let me tell you this, you know, it's part of my testimony. I was raised in a Christian family. I went to church nearly every Sunday. Yes, I remember even I went to vacation Bible school. And I have never been close to being drunk. Christians in Africa generally also don't smoke. So I never smoke. So when cigarette smells, you know, it is not good for me. So I never did all those things. You know, I never used drugs. I never used curse words. And I tried to be faithful all the time, even, you know, among my friends, even in school. So, but God had to show me that my heart is just as corrupt as that of the worst criminal in this world. Yes, God reminded me that I'm not better than anybody else. He reminded me that I was probably trusting in my own good works and being good and nice and not trusting in the grace of God. And that is how I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1981 when I was at a youth retreat. I could hear the voice of God clearly talking to me that I was trusting in myself, trusting in my righteousness, and not trusting in God. So this leads us to number B, where it says, people who try to come to God by their good works are comparing themselves to others and not to God. So the reason this Pharisee thought that he was so good was that he was comparing himself with other people. He was comparing himself with the swindlers, people who steal money. He was comparing himself with immoral people and greedy people. Yes, so outwardly, we all can find those who are more wicked than we are. And we can congratulate ourselves. We are good people. We go to church. But if we look at the other way, we also could find many people who are far better than we are. People who have given their very lives for others. They have given their very lives to the mission fields. They are away from home. So it is useless to compare ourselves with one another. God's perfect righteousness is the only standard we can use to measure up ourselves, our faith. It is only the Word of God we can use as a measuring reed or a measuring rod for our faith. Amen. This leads us to the second point, where it says the right way to approach God is as unworthy sinner pleading for mercy. That is the right way. If you exalt yourself by presenting your good works to God, you will be humble on Judgment Day. But if you humble yourself now before God and plead for His mercy, then you will be lifted up. And that is also clear in the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 10. It says, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Yes, He will lift you up. B, in that number 2, says, approach God as unworthy sinner. We ought to approach God as unworthy sinners. We see this happening with the tax collector. He came to God as unworthy. He didn't brag about what he had done. So the scripture says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful with me. Be merciful to me, sorry. A sinner. Yes, we see this tax collector coming to God with a heart of humility. He came to God as an unworthy sinner and asked for mercy. He didn't plead with God on the basis of his good deeds or good works. He did not promise that things will be different in the future. He simply came to God as he was, with no basis, and with no merit in himself or whatever he had done. He came to God as an unworthy sinner. That is the only way any of us can approach God, because that is what we all are, unworthy. All of us are unworthy sinners who deserve His judgment. That is the only way we can approach God. Which way is the right way to approach God? Approach God with humility, as unworthy sinners, and say, God, I'm a sinner who deserve nothing but your judgment. But by your grace, I know I can be forgiven. Now, let me close this by saying that the man who saw himself as a sinner was the one who Jesus declared as righteous. Jesus declared this man to be right before God. On the other hand, we saw this man who saw himself as a righteous and saw everyone else as a sinner was the one who was not justified. Do we all understand what it means to be justified? By looking at these two men, the Pharisee, what it means to be justified is that the Pharisee is going to hell because he's not justified, while the tax collector is going to heaven because he's justified by God's grace. He admitted that he was a sinner and he was justified. Amen. So my prayer this morning is we all, you know, I pray that we always place ourselves at the disposal of God's mercy and grace. Like this tax collector who was cut to the heart because of his sin. And he could not help it. He had to humble himself and ask for forgiveness. No matter how long we have been Christian, always, I want you to remind you that it is in Christ alone that we can be justified. It is not by works. And none of us can justify ourselves. It is only by the grace of God. Amen. Thank you. Let's rise for doxology. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the message you have brought to us today. Thank you for reminding us that it is by your grace that we can get to heaven. And right now, we place ourselves in your hands of mercy and grace. And we pray that you help each one of us to be faithful to you in serving you and also in coming closer to you. Lord, thank you for the gifts that we have brought before you. May you bless this offering, bless those hands, bless the labor of those hands in whatever they are doing. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you multiply this gift for the extension of your kingdom. For I pray in Jesus' name, and God's people say, Amen. And now receive the benediction. go forth into the world, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus go with each one of you. Amen.